Tate. Sunnyside, Currumbong, Australia, March 9th, 1896. Dear brother, we have received the book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, and are much disappointed in its general appearance. The cover and chapter headings, except the first, are passably good. The reading we know to be good, but most of the full-page illustrations I cannot accept. Had they been printed on separate pages, we would have disposed of them in short order, and would have given you directions to dispose of them by pulling them out of the book. But as they are part and parcel of the book, we cannot do this. Would it not be best to submit anything so important as illustrations to the writer before publishing? It seems unexplainable to me that not one of you on the spot where these things are transacted could see any defect, or if you did, that you let the matter pass. As members of the book committee, should you not have spoken and acted? It would be better not to have illustrations than to have such figures. Two are much better than the rest, the Mount of Blessing and the Sea of Galilee. Some of the illustrations in the book, Christ Our Savior, are certainly much better than those in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. Yet in the former book, the birth of Jesus might be improved, and several others do not present the scene as it is. In the cut before Pilate, the representation of Pilate is not in any wise such as we should expect. Art thou the King of the Jews? Christ or Barabbas is good. Although the illustrations in this book are not just as we wish, we will not criticize and demerit the book. I am pleased with it. It is of a character to do good, but the contrast between the two books, as far as the illustrations go, is far from pleasing. Thoughts has been many months before you in Battle Creek. Certainly in that time better illustrations might have been made or purchased. I do not feel clear in regard to withholding the book from the people so long. It might better have been published without illustrations. I have much written upon education, true and false, that I wish I could send to you in this mail. Sunday night, March 8th, I was awakened to write matters that were presented to me in regard to individual cases. My usual hour of rising is 3 a.m., but sometimes I awake at 12 or 1 and write as fast as my pen can trace upon paper. But it is difficult to get anyone who can edit these articles as fast as I need them. Work goes slowly at times. You spoke of the matter I mentioned as written before my husband's death. I have one article, The Two Orders of Things, representing the state of things in the office during my husband's illness. The condition then was similar to that which exists now, but there are a large number of pages written before his death that I cannot find. I think the matter must be in Healdsburg or Battle Creek. I am at a loss to know just where. I expected to be absent only 2 years, but it has now been more than double that time. We know not when we shall return. I will try to have some things copied, but again I question, what is the use? That which I now speak to our people has no special influence with some, and I might resurrect all the manuscript yet unpublished, but it would not increase faith one whit. The royalty question has been fully set before you in Battle Creek. I have no more to say on that matter, but shall in every instance follow the light given me of God. Edson has been charged with writing to me and complaining of Brother Henry. This is a mistake. Edson has not done this. The light which has been given me has been sent to Edson only when I felt his danger and presented to him that he was not to let his feelings control him. The thought that he was dealt with unkindly by anyone in the office should not lead him to commit sin against his precious Savior, or to let his mind be soured in any way. I assured him that the Lord was looking upon every unjust act. Every hard-hearted and unjust decision is known to him. I wrote this to him, not because Edson had written to me of these things, for he had not, but because matters had been presented before me, and I could not rest until I sent my warnings over the broad Pacific to save him from another utter discouragement. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have spoken to hard, unthankful, unsubdued hearts, because I was commissioned to set the warnings before them, whether they would hear or whether they would forbear. See Ezekiel 3, verse 4-7, 16-21, 9, 18.
I will not now hold my peace. I will not say to those who are going contrary to the light God has given, who follow the imagination of their own hearts, it shall be well with thee. If I should hold my peace, the blood of souls would be on my garments. I must speak the words of the Lord. The Lord cannot justify those who have been, and are still, following a course of oppression. They are not doing his will. In their speech and their dealing, they are not following the example of Christ. They do not bear in mind, "All ye are brethren." Matthew 23, verse 8. I had hoped that the old, harsh, unchristian manner of dealing with the workmen would never be practiced again. But my heart trembles today for the workers in high and low position. These things are an offense to God, and he will not pass them by. He will surely judge for these things. For men are made to err from the Lord. Everyone will be tested through temptation. One thing I am sure I cannot do, and that is to expel unbelief, to make those believe who have had evidence piled upon evidence. They are now less inclined to believe. There are reasons, they think, for the position they take. Their minds are given to unbelief and doubt. None can change the impressions made upon them by the sowing of the seeds of unbelief. If they want the thing to be so, if they lay their plans, work to them, suppose them all right, and then their imaginings are reproved as unwise, Satan steps in and says, even to those who have met the same things in others, somebody has told her. All that these leading men have to do to place themselves in the channel of unbelief is to say, somebody has told her. Little did we suppose that individuals who have seemed to be firmly established would go over the ground which others have travelled to their own backsliding and ruin. When even the strongest men link up with counsellors who have no living connection with God, and they have evidence of the fact, the Lord will not work a miracle daily to keep them from being contaminated with the same spirit, for they are breathing the same atmosphere. Those who are in position as office bearers should drink of the pure streams of the waters of Lebanon. I have no call to refute every surmising of evil. I must speak the truth. I have no call to ask men, whoever they may be, what testimony would suit their ambitious devising. When the word of the Lord comes to me, I shall speak decidedly, firmly, with the authority that God gives. Let men walk softly before God. Let them walk humbly, and not lean upon men who do not lean upon God, and do not make him their trust. In the name of the Lord, I lift the danger signal. Beware of men. Put not your trust in princes. Make not flesh your arm. This I have repeated to Edson White over and over. Cause will be followed by sure results. Whatever men or women may say, I shall work on just the same, speaking the words the Lord has given me to speak. If called to point out a wrong course of action toward my own children, toward my brethren, or toward my nephew, I shall not hold my peace. Those who are connected with me by relationship are as dear to me as those who have no connection with me. I shall not withhold one jot or tittle because of their connection with me. If wrong has been done them, and it was necessary to mention their names, I shall not forbear. If persons appeal to me for counsel that I can give them, I always try to help them. If my own son asks counsel of his mother, you will receive it just the same as do those who have no relationship with me. For I am glad to give a word in season. I am the Lord's servant, to speak the words which he gives me. I have at times been inclined to say nothing because Edson is my son, but I have given him cautions, warnings, reproof, as the Lord has given me. I have also given him words of encouragement, which the Lord has given me for him, which others would have done had they been doers of the word. Because men who ought to know their duty have not done it toward him, because men who ought to deal justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, have followed their imagination and their uncontrollable will and passion that have worked harm, I have been instructed to work in an opposite direction. My son is the purchase of the blood of Christ, and I have told him that he must not trust in men, nor allow their words, their spirit, or their business transactions to confuse his senses, to discourage him, or to cause him to do evil. He should consider that by the Lord actions are weighed. We are to leave matters with him. He knows, and patiently wait for him. The words and cautions of God may not appear to have any immediate influence to correct the evil, but we are to leave everything in his hands. Every transaction which I know that God condemns, I hope and pray that he will give me strength to refuse to participate in or to sustain, whether it is against the weak, the poor, and needy, or against my own relatives. If, because of this, doubts and unbelief are entertained by my professed brethren, who have had all the evidence God will ever give them in regard to the character of the work committed to his humble servant to do in his name, I cannot stop my work because of this. I have no words to speak to those who will open their minds and hearts to evil surmisings, because I am trying, by the words given me of God, to counsel and warn my own son, and save him from ruin. The spirit that has taken possession of human minds, and has led to some of their conclusions, is contemptible in the sight of God. Our Heavenly Father is presented to us in the character of Christ. In him the veil is drawn aside, which conceals the glory of God from our eyes. The Bible shows us God in his high and holy place, not in a state of inactivity, not in silence and solitude, but surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands of holy intelligences, every one waiting to do his bidding, and taking cognizance of every wrong action against those who are the property of God. He stands not in indifference, but in active communication with every part of his dominion. Through channels which men cannot see or appreciate, he is actually speaking from his throne, bending earthward, listening to every sound coming from the lips of the oppressed, observing the movements of every human being the world contains, approving or condemning every action toward his own majesty or toward his heritage, raising up the afflicted and unfortunate ones whom Satan is seeking to humiliate and destroy. Let those who manifest so little unselfish interest in the purchase of the blood of Christ remember that the Lord will treat them as indifferently as they have treated their fellow men in their trouble. Every act of injustice and robbery and oppression is written in the books. Everyone who takes advantage of human beings formed in God's image is cooperating with the great enemy of God and man, and he shall receive at the hand of God double for all these works. The work of Satan is continually driven on with terrible vindictiveness, and men participate with evil angels in wounding and bruising the souls of God's people. The Lord sees. The Lord hears the cries of his children. The Lord has not concealed from his followers the plan of the battle. He has presented before his people the great conflict, and he has given them words of encouragement. He charges them not to enter into the battle without counting the cost, while he assures them that they do not fight alone, but that supernatural agencies will enable the weak, if they trust in him, to become strong against the vast confederacy of evil arrayed against them. He points them to the universe of heaven and assures them that holy beings are wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The children of God are cooperating with the invisible host of light, and more than angels are in their ranks. The Holy Spirit, the representative of the captain of the Lord's host, comes down to direct the battle. Our infirmities may be many, our mistakes and sins numerous, but forgiveness is for all who, with contrition of heart, will confess and forsake their sins. Angels of light are sent to render them all the help that is required. I have a message for the people of God. Look to God for your individual selves in every movement you make. Trust not in any man's wisdom. Jesus raises his voice with clear and distinct instruction. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. John 7, verse 37, 6, 37. Coming to Christ, you are not repulsed. You are not humiliated with censures, or met with distrust, suspicions, and heartless denunciations. The people need to realize the spirituality of the law of God and its eternal obligation resting upon men. They need to realize the worthlessness of formal, ceremonial obedience. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. To the lawyer who gave this interpretation of the law, Christ said, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Luke 10, verse 27-28. In all our institutions, in all our churches, in all our homes, there is need of a decided awakening in regard to the paternal character of God, his holiness and benevolence, and the relation which the human agents sustain to God and to one another.
The infinite love of God is expressed by the cross of Calvary. Will the Lord pass over any wrong committed in dealing with the human agents for whom he has given his life? By his own divine appointment, God is the Savior of men. He is not the destroyer, but the restorer, to renew his own image in men, to encourage, to enlighten, to sanctify, to elevate, to ennoble. Those who do not, with all their powers, cooperate with Christ in this work will never see the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the judge of the world.